Thank you, guys. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's really inspiring to talk in front of so many of you guys. And you guys are making a commitment over the summer to be here, to learn a little bit more, and get ready for the next step. So let me just see a show of hands. How many seniors at Rising Seniors or parents of seniors? Okay. Nice. How many juniors? Parents of juniors, Rising Juniors, great. All right, sophomores, parents of sophomores, okay. And then any freshmen, rising freshmen, parents of freshmen, few. Okay, so I'm going to share a ton today, and most times when I do this presentation to students and to parents, people do end up writing a lot down. I know you guys all have notebooks and stuff to write with. I've actually had the pleasure of meeting quite a few of you already. We have a booth up there. Some of my colleagues are up there as well. So, and people have been writing down a lot as I've been talking. So I'm going to share a lot. I'm going to get into a lot of nitty-gritty about strategies, tests, techniques, when to take the SAT and ACT. But before I do, I want to give you guys a quick 1 minute about my background. So I grew up on Long Island in New York. Any folks from Long Island? Show of hands. All right. All right, great. So bear with me if you can hear my Long Island accent. I'll apologize for that. So I grew up on Long Island. I went to Princeton University. I came back to Long Island. I was teaching fifth grade. And my parents spent their whole careers as teachers at West Babylon High School on Long Island. And they said to me, you know, Tom, we have a lot of students here who are not doing well on the SAT and ACT. You did well on the test. Maybe you could help them. So I started tutoring students. This was back in 1998. Please don't do the math on that, okay? I start tutoring in 1998. So I'm spending the whole day with a classroom of fifth graders trying to teach these little guys something, and they are doing their best to drive me nuts, okay? Anybody who's spent time with a classroom of fifth graders know that they're really good at that. Then in the afternoon, I'm working with folks like you. I'm spending an hour with a student, and at the end of the hour, the student's thanking me. Oh my gosh, thank you so much, Mr. Ehlers, I learned so much. Then the parent's thanking me. Then the parent's saying, would you like a chicken cutlet parmesan hero? I'm like, yes, please. Then, you know, would you like a hot fudge sundae? I was like, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life. Yes, please. So I'm spending all day every day tutoring students for the SAT and ACT, having a lot of success. I could tell that I was helping them. They didn't have some of the strategies and techniques. And the students are appreciating it, the parents are appreciating it. I said to myself, there's gotta be a way to share this information with more students. So we created a web-based program, and I've talked to, again, many of you about that, but it's a simple checklist to follow of 15-minute tasks. And when you go through the checklist, there's 20 weeks in the checklist, so it takes about an hour a week for 20 weeks. You learn every trick, every strategy, every technique to score well on these exams. So that's just a quick about my background. Let's go ahead and jump in. So you guys see on this first slide the word passion. One thing I'm very passionate about is most students are not scoring at their potential. Most students are taking these tests without all the tricks and strategies that they need to score as well as they can. And a lot of students get the wrong impression that they're not good test takers. Okay, if you guys don't mind, let me just see a show of hands. How many people at one point or another felt they weren't a great test taker? Yeah, and I think I raise my hand too sometimes and say, and really what it is, guys, is that student is not doing the right preparation. So the first thing I'd like you guys to write down, unless you've written something down already, is I want you to write this down. Each question on the SAT can represent a 10-point increase in your score. So think about that for a second. One question is 10 more points. If you spend some time preparing, and I'll talk about some very concrete things you can do, and you get 5 more questions right, that's a 50-point increase in your score. You do that in math, and you do that on this new reading/writing section. That's 50 points in each. That's 100 more points on your score. I am very passionate that every single one of you students can go up 100 points on the SAT. Unless, of course, you're a rising senior, you've already gotten a 1550, you know, you can't go up 100 more points. But if you're not in that category, you can improve your score tremendously. These are not IQ tests, okay? The SAT is a test of how many SAT questions you've practiced. The ACT is a test of how many ACT questions you've practiced. It's as simple as that. So you see the second bullet point there, guys, knowledge. This guy took the May SAT himself. Yes, I paid my $60 and I took the May SAT at Bayshore High School, one of those awful desks that you guys have to sit in every day. Some parents say to me, how did you take the SAT? And I say, the College Board will take anybody's money, okay? You wanna take the SAT, you can take it, give them 60 bucks, and you can go sit and take the exam. So if you guys want a little chuckle, Google old guy takes the SAT. And the Long Island newspaper is Newsday, so jot down old guy takes the SAT, Newsday. If you Google that, I'm the old guy, okay? It's my 15 seconds of internet fame. It's very sad, I know. But you'll read the article and you'll learn something about what it's like to sit there for 5 hours and go through the process, right? A lot of this is it's just an endurance test. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you guys have already taken the SAT once? Okay, so you guys know what I'm talking about. How many have taken the SAT twice? Okay, and how many have taken the SAT three or more times? A couple of people. How many people have taken the ACT? Okay, great. And by the way, you guys know that every college in the country will accept either the SAT or ACT. They don't have a preference. They'll take whichever one you scored higher on. So it makes sense to take both the SAT and the ACT. And how many people have taken the ACT twice? Okay, a bunch of you, good. And three or more times? Okay, a few. Okay, so, and then I actually did sit and take this new SAT, guys. So again, I'm not speaking to you as somebody who doesn't sit there and go through the process myself. I took the new SAT in May. I wrote an article, and again, it was published in Newsday. You can find that one. The title is not as fun. It's just expert offers advice on the new SAT. So it's again, it's a Newsday article. And I've been doing this for 17 years. Okay, let's jump in. Guys, this might be the most important slide. So please, you know, pay attention, focus in, listen up, get ready to jot down. When should you take the SAT and ACT? So there are certain SATs and ACTs where they will give you the entire test back so you can analyze your mistakes. It is literally a tragedy to me that most students and parents that I talk to, and I talk to probably 100 parents and students every week, most students have not heard about these services. So let me make sure I'm being really clear, and please jot this down. The SAT calls their service the question and answer service. They offer this service, you guys can see, on the January, May, and October exams. They do not offer the service on the other exams. So you can take the other exams, but you will never get to see which questions you got wrong. And I think that is the definition of insanity, right? Because think of it like this. Think of you take a 5-hour exam, you get a score that you're not completely satisfied with, no one tells you what you did wrong, and then somebody says, go take that exam again. That's ludicrous, okay? I have twins who just finished first grade, boy and girl twins. Okay, no, I did not start SAT prep with them. I'm going to start that next year. Thank you for laughing. That's a joke. I'm not one of those crazy people, okay? There is no way that my son and my daughter are going to take any SAT other than those three. Why would I have them take a 5-hour exam where they can't get the questions back? Because remember what we talked about earlier, guys, each question is 10 points. So when I go over the question and answer service with a student, like I've done thousands of times, I show them the five easiest questions that they got wrong. Usually the student gets 4 out of 5 right on their own. And then I can look that student in the eye and I can say, your score just went up by 40 or 50 points and I haven't even taught you anything. So guys, you need to take these exams. You do pay an extra, I think it's $20 around there. You pay an extra $20. And when you register for these exams, you say, I want the question and answer service. You pay the extra $20 and they will send the whole test back to you. And then you can go over that with a teacher at your school. You can go over that with a friend, a parent. Okay, obviously, I work with a number of tutors who are very talented. You can go over with one of my tutors. You can see what you did wrong and you can improve for next time. That is a smart plan. This way you're not wasting your time. The ACT offers the same service. They call theirs the TIR, so please jot that down. I saw a lot of you take a picture with your phone. Feel free to do that. The ACT is called the TIR service. It's the exact same service. They offer it in December, April, and June. I should make a quick note. I don't know how many of you guys have heard. The SAT is going to offer a summer SAT for the first time next year, so summer of 2017, right? And so for those of you who are rising juniors, you would take it summer before your senior year. Those of you who are rising sophomores would take it summer before your junior year. That may be a good option for a lot of people before the craziness of the school year sets in. When they offer that in August of 2017, they're not going to offer the January 2018. So it's a small point, but just something I wanted to mention, that there is going to be an August SAT, not this summer, but next summer. Okay. The SAT. So this is an overview of the SAT reading section. Let me make sure I'm being very clear and jot this down. There are no more sentence completion questions on the SAT. For those of you who took an old SAT or know about these questions, it's basically a glorified vocabulary test, right? It's a sentence, put in a blank, you fill in the best word. It's essentially vocabulary. There are no more of those. Some students are like, oh, that's great, no more vocabulary. But the bad news is now it's all reading comprehension. So some students say, oh, I'd rather have vocabulary. But just know, guys, it's all reading comprehension now. Okay. There's only one reading section. There used to be 3 reading sections. They were shorter, but you had to sit through 3 sections, and they broke them up. They varied them. It's nice that now only one section. It is 65 minutes long, so it's long. But once you're done with that section, you're done with the reading portion of your SAT. Okay, and you guys can see you get a score between a 10 and a 40. That's your raw score. And then they convert that into the 3-digit number that we're all so familiar with, aware of. Somewhere between a 200 and 800 is the maximum. Again, I don't know if you guys want to jot this down. People ask me all the time, what is the average score? Traditionally, the average SAT reading writing score is about a 510. So if you want to jot down 510 is about the national average. When somebody says, what is a good score? Obviously, that's a relative word, and you should go to the colleges that you're interested in, look on their websites. But if you score a 600 on the reading writing and a 600 on the math for a 1200, that's an excellent score. That's way above average. Now, many of you are going to shoot for higher scores than that, which is great. Again, I'm passionate about the fact that students can score higher, but a 1200 is an excellent score, okay? So just to give you guys some benchmarks. Okay, and notice what it says there at the bottom, guys. You're going to combine your reading score. They're going to combine your reading score and your writing and language score into one score now. So you're going to get one score, maximum of 800 for both of those sections. Okay, I love that this slide has the words main idea in huge letters. Guys, if you only remember one thing from me about the SAT reading, remember the words main idea. And I know you guys have heard this from teachers since you were in third grade, but the SAT and the ACT are basically testing you on, can you understand the main idea? Can you pull the main idea out of the passage? there are going to be many questions that say, what is the main idea of the passage? What was the author's primary purpose in writing the passage? Those kinds of words. So students always, the first question students ask me is, should I read the whole passage first or should I go to the questions? The answer is you should read the passage, not necessarily the whole passage, but you should read as much as you can for a minute to a minute and a half. So you you're thinking to yourself, what is the main idea? Because half of the questions can be answered just based on that main idea. Okay, and you guys can see some examples of the kind of ways they word main idea questions. I like that last bullet point, guys. The wrong answers, they make them sound, they're often factually true. They often have some fancy words in them, but they're not related to the main idea. Those are good ones to look out for and cross out. And let me say something about process of elimination. People don't realize how important process of elimination is on the SAT and ACT. So I know that may sound obvious to you, a lot of you guys, but I see this mistake made all the time. Students think that somebody like me just knows the right answer on the SAT and ACT. That is not how the SAT and ACT, that's not how they go. What you do, guys, is you get to each question and you immediately start crossing out the wrong answers. The faster that you can get rid of two choices, the better. My goal is to get it down to a 50-50 as fast as I can. And then I can actually concentrate on the two choices that are left, which often those last two choices are very close to each other. So they can be tricky and confusing. So get rid of the wrong answers. So if you guys don't mind jotting down, process of elimination. When you practice getting rid of choices. Don't be that person who's always just trying to spot the right answer right away. Get rid of the wrong ones. And I'm going to make another point that's going to sound obvious to a lot of you guys, but there are some people in this audience who are not doing it, and please start doing it from today on. The more you write down on the paper, the more you write on your SAT and ACT, the higher you will score, period. Okay, I've always been strong in math, and I like to do a lot of math in my head. Guys, on the SAT and ACT, I don't do anything in my head. I put it all down on paper. If you were to look at my SAT or my ACT, you would see writing all over it. Now, of course, it's chicken scratch writing, right? Because I'm trying to write fast and I don't have the best handwriting, but I'm writing all over my paper. Okay. So these are new questions on this SAT. These were not on the old SAT. Notice, I'll read 7 out loud. It can most reasonably be inferred that after Miss Taylor married, she had... So you answer that question, and then look at what question 8 says. Which choice provides the best evidence for the answer to the previous question? It's almost like a 2-for-the-price-of-1 question. Guys, I really like these questions, and you guys will like them too, because you're doing this anyway. Meaning, when you go to answer question 7, there's a reason why you're choosing question 7. You're going back to the passage, and you're finding something in the passage that leads you to think it was A, or B, or C, or D. So on question 8, you're basically just telling them where you already found the answer to question 7. You've already done the work, okay? So if you get question 7 correct and you found where it is, you're going to get question 8 correct as well, okay? And you see the technique there so anticipate the best evidence yourself. Like, I already think I know where the answer is. So I look at the 4 choices and I'll often find what I already thought it was. If I don't find the lines I was looking for, then I might be off on question 7. Okay, so words in context. These were on the old SAT, but there are more of them on the new SAT. And it just says, as used in line 54, want most nearly means. Guys, I have a very simple tactic, technique for these questions. you solve these questions. And again, I know I'm talking a little fast. You can jot down note form. You solve these questions like sentence completion questions. What I mean by that is you read the sentence where line 54 is, you put a blank where the word want is, and you read each choice in the blank. So, you know, here it would just be the blank of Miss Taylor would be felt every hour of every day. The desire of Miss Taylor, the lack of Miss Taylor, the requirement of Miss Taylor, the request of Miss Taylor. Now, you'd already have read that paragraph, so you would understand the context, and the correct answer here is B, the lack of Miss Taylor, and there are a lot of clues that help you. But, and a lot of you guys have probably figured this out already, the trick answer is A, because students see the word want, and they go, oh, a want is a desire. And yes, the SAT put that as choice A on purpose to distract you. They knew they would trick a lot of people into picking A. But it's not about what does want mean most commonly. It's what does want mean in this passage. So you simply solve it like a sentence completion. You read the sentence, put a blank, and read each choice in the blank. And how many of you guys have ever, John, I want to see a show of hands. How many of you guys have heard, oh, the SAT is kind of a trick test. It's full of trick questions. I figured a lot of you guys have like heard something like that. This is what people are talking about when they say the SAT is full of trick questions. So yes, you could call this a trick question. They're trying to trick you into putting A, desire. But guys, if you know the tricks, they're really not that hard to spot. And they just repeat these tricks over and over and over again. These are the most repetitive tests in the world. They literally test you on the same thing every time. So if you practice enough, you will get so used to these tricks that they're so and they're so predictable in how they're going to use them. By the way, guys, maybe jot down there are only four answer choices on this new SAT. That's great news. There used to be five answer choices on the old exam. So now we only have to deal with four answer choices, which makes a big difference. Right, when you're trying to narrow questions down, if you only have to get rid of three wrong answers, that's a lot nicer. So that's an advantage to this new SAT. Okay. So this is another new type of question. So again, if you had practiced for the old SAT, you would not have seen this question on the old SAT. This is where they ask you to take information from the reading passage and combine it with information from a graph or table or chart. Guys, these are not questions to be afraid of. You'd practice a few of these and you're gonna feel really comfortable with them. They're just new. They've never been on the test before, okay? I kinda like these questions. I use the example of a Time magazine article. How many of you guys have ever read Time magazine? Everybody, right? Article in Time. You know how Time will give you a passage, an article, and then they'll give you a chart or a graph or a table, and you have to use information from both to understand what the article is about. That's exactly what this is here. So it's a skill that you guys are already building. You just need to practice it. Okay? It's a small part of the reading, 5%, but it's something that I wanted you guys to be aware of. Okay. The writing and language section. So again, there's only one writing and language section, which for a lot of us, that's an advantage. We like that. You only have to do one of these. It used to be you had to do three, or I should say two, because the third was the essay, and I'll get to that in a second. But so it used to be two writing and language sections. Now there's just one. It's 35 minutes long. Again, you're going to get a raw score of a 10 to 40, and then they're going to convert that into they're going to combine that with your reading, and you'll end up with somewhere between a 200 and an 800. So, guys, the thing to write down from this slide is that last bullet point. This is a clone of the ACT English section. So please maybe write down ACT English equals SAT writing and language. It is the same stuff. If you prepare for one, you're really preparing for both. You're killing two birds with one stone. It's great, okay? You don't need to do a whole separate SAT writing preparation and then a whole ACT English. You do it all in one shot. It's the same exact stuff. So that's, and I don't know how many of you guys are aware that there are more students around the country who take the ACT now than the SAT. So the ACT is the more popular test. So that of course didn't make the College Board happy. So the College Board is in some ways imitating the ACT because the ACT has been beating them up pretty good. So now they're sort of mirroring the ACT. So this new SAT is a lot more like the ACT. Let me just see a show of hands. How many of you guys have already heard on this new SAT, you should answer every question? Okay? A lot of you guys have heard that. If you are unclear on that, please write it down. You need to answer every question. There's no reason to leave a question blank. No reason to omit a question. Same as the ACT, right? So guys, on both of these tests moving forward, you really need to answer every question or you're at a disadvantage. Okay, if the proctor says 1 minute left, you still have five questions you haven't tried, make sure you bubble in an answer for all five, okay? There's no penalty for a wrong answer. Okay, so this shows you guys an example of an ACT English, because this is what ACT English looks like as well, but this is a new SAT writing and language question. Now, actually for fun, each one of you guys just kind of read this for a minute and just keep an answer in your head. Don't say it out loud. Okay, so U.S. companies lose a yearly sum of $63.2 billion annually. So the answer here is choice C. And why is it choice C? Because choices A, B, and D are all repetitive. They're redundant, right? You don't have to say annual and then say each year. Guys, what's so sad to me is a lot of the students I work with, they didn't even know this was a concept that they were being tested on. So when they got to this question, they were looking for like a punctuation mistake, or they were looking for some other type of mistake. They didn't know the test was going to test you on redundancy or repetition. And maybe, guys, jot this down if you don't mind. There are going to be three or four redundancy questions on every SAT, guaranteed. And there are going to be three or four redundancy questions on every ACT, guaranteed. So literally, if you look for this, you can score 40 points higher just knowing that redundancy and repetition are going to be on the exam. Those are easy, easy points. If you practice enough of these guys, you notice them very quickly. Even notice how you basically get rid of three choices for the same reason, right? You don't have to come up with a different reason why each one's wrong. Three choices are wrong for the same reason. That's an easy 10 points once you know to look for that. Okay, this is a fun slide. So this is another example of you do a little bit of preparation, a little bit of practice, it's going to go a long way on your exam. So you're going to try to decide where the error is, right? Little fun pop quiz. I know you guys are, who's having a good time here, right? All right, this is fun, okay? I'm going to be out in the street after this is over. We'll do more practice questions. Like a street performer. Yeah, what street? Funny guy. I'm just kidding. 1 hour, this is enough, okay? It's enough fun for one day. So where is the error? Okay, read this sentence to yourself. Try to figure out what the error is. Keep the answer in your head. The congressional panel issued their findings after conducting an investigation that lasted for over a year. Okay, parents, you're not off the hook here. I want all the parents jotting down their answer too. Okay, let me see a show of hands. How many people think they know the answer? People have an idea. All right, some people. Here we go. There's the error, guys. The congressional panel issued their findings. No. The congressional panel issued its findings, right? Because it's a panel. It's one thing. It's not panels. It's not plural. It's one congressional panel. So it's a singular unit. Since it's a singular unit, you need a singular pronoun, its. There is a plural pronoun. So, guys, they trick a lot of people on this the first time. They probably tricked me on this back in 1993 when I was taking the PSAT for the first time. They probably fooled me. But now they just repeat this question on every single exam. If you guys know to look for this, right, this is subject pronoun agreement, okay? If you look for this, you're going to get a bunch of questions right just from knowing this one. Again, trick question. This would definitely be considered a trick question. Okay, just like on the reading, this new SAT writing and language, they are incorporating graphs and charts and tables. Again, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just something new to practice, okay? And by the way, guys, and if you stop by our booth later, you're going to see on the table the official SAT study guide. Maybe jot this down, students and parents. There's only one book to buy for the SAT. It's the College Board book, and it says the official SAT study guide. It's like a bluish, greenish, tealish color. And again, you'll see it on our booth. It's the official SAT study guide. You can just go on Amazon or go to any bookstore. It's got four full practice exams. That is a perfect way to practice. You go through the four tests in that book, okay? And you're going to see a lot of these questions and you can practice. And then, by the way, the ACT has the same book. So while we're on the topic, maybe just jot this down. I always call it the big red book. So when you need to buy a book for the ACT, it says the real ACT prep guide, and it's a red cover, a large book with a red cover. Okay? So that's the one book you want to grab for the ACT. Okay, so a couple more different pitfalls. I like this first bullet point, guys. The most common mistake is students don't read enough around the underlined portion. So when you're taking the SAT writing and the ACT English, make sure you read enough around the lines so you understand the context. And that's going to make answering the question a lot easier. It's going to make crossing out the wrong choices easier as well. Okay, and again, they're distinguishing red flag words, look for pronouns. Guys, each one of these slides is a 5-minute lesson in our web-based program. So when I talked before about doing 4 15-minute tasks a week, okay, for 20 weeks, each one of those 15-minute tasks, or this slide, for example, contains a couple of them, but we go into very great detail about how to deal with that type of question or that type of concept. So these are obviously just quick overviews. Okay, so now we're on to the SAT math. There are two sections you guys can see up on the slide if you want to jot that down or take a picture with your phone. There's a no calculator section and a calculator section. The no calculator section is 25 minutes. Calculator section is 55 minutes. The most important thing I want you guys to hear off the bat is students are sort of nervous or they're hearing a lot of myths and rumors about the no calculator section. The no calculator section is not more difficult. There are some really easy questions on the no calculator section. And then there are some medium ones, and then there are some very difficult ones. Exactly the same as the calculator section. So it's not like one section is easier or harder. They're the same level of difficulty. It's just on the one section that's 25 minutes, you're not allowed to use your calculator. But there aren't any questions that you would need to use your calculator. You can answer the questions without it. They combine those two math sections together, and you get somewhere between a 200 and an 800. Again, on the old SAT, there used to be 3 math sections. So now there are just 2. Okay. Jot down the title to this slide, or, again, take a picture with your phone. The new SAT is all about algebra. Okay, the College Board has decided that algebra is the key skill for students as far as college readiness goes. They want you guys to be really comfortable with algebra. So they have drastically reduced the amount of geometry on this new SAT. There is a lot less geometry. There's a lot more algebra. And you can see these kinds of questions, which again, You can see plenty of examples of these questions with video explanations of how to answer them right on our web-based program, which I'll talk about in a minute and make sure I'm explaining it well. And you can see plenty of these examples in that official SAT study guide. So just know, guys, when you take this new SAT, just know there is going to be a ton of algebra questions, okay? You're gonna have to understand linear relationships, slope questions, y-intercept, okay? Which is fine, because it's what you guys are doing in high school anyway. So the new SAT is trying to mirror what you guys are doing in high school. So that should be a positive change. Okay, and then there's some basic and intermediate statistics. But again, I don't want people to hear the word statistics and sort of get nervous. It's very basic, very low level. A lot of the statistics you learned 8th, 9th, 10th grade, you learned those concepts. Line of best fit, mean, median mode. Okay, and there are going to be a number of quadratic questions. Some of these are the more difficult questions. Okay, some of you guys will have an advantage on these because you will have done them very recently in school. So you will just learn that in school, and then you'll take the SAT and you'll have that stuff fresh in your head. Okay, so a couple obvious suggestions. You see there in quotes, algebraic gymnastics. Get a lot of practice with algebra. Okay, two-way tables and graphs. Proportions are all over the new SAT and the ACT. So make sure you're ready for proportions. And then, as I just said, mean, median, standard deviation. Okay, the SAT essay. So much talk about this new SAT essay. Guys, please de-emphasize the essay. Please don't go nuts worrying about this new SAT essay. Many colleges have already said they're not even going to look at the new SAT essay. So I don't want people going crazy freaking out, but I do want you guys doing well on it. I want you guys to almost pretend in a positive way that it is going to count for every school and really do your best. The nice thing is they now give you 50 minutes, 5-0. I don't know how many of you guys are aware, the old SAT, you only had 25 minutes to write the essay, which is ridiculous, right? No one can write an essay in 25 minutes. That's silly. So now they give you 50 minutes to write the essay, and the maximum score, if you guys want to jot this down, the max score is an 888, okay? Three different grades, and 8 would be the top score in each of the three. So when I took the May SAT, guys, they gave test takers, they gave the students and me a passage about how Americans use too much air conditioning. So a guy wrote this whole paper about how persuasive essay that Americans use too much air conditioning. And then the question was to evaluate his essay. Was he persuasive? How was he persuasive? What different rhetorical techniques did he use? So you had to write an essay essentially breaking down his arguments and breaking down his writing, okay? I thought it was a good exercise because it's the kind of writing that you have to do in college. So, and that's how each SAT essay is going to go. So you guys are probably aware the essay is optional now. You do not have to take the essay. And by the way, guys, that's the same as the ACT. The ACT, it's an optional essay. But my advice to you guys is to do the essay on both exams. You don't want to be that person who's applying to a school and they say, sure, yeah, we'll take your ACT score, but you need to also submit your essay. And then you have to go back and take the whole exam just because you didn't take the essay the first time. So my advice is, take the essay for both SAT and ACT. It's given at the end of the exam, so it's one additional section that you have to sit through. Okay, how many of you guys have heard the silly thing, the more you write, the better you score? Some of you guys have heard that? Okay, it's true. The longer essays tend to get better scores. So when you sit down to write the essay, obviously you're not just gonna fill up the page with nonsense, but the longer your essay is, okay, on average, those essays will get better scores. So write as much as you can in the time that they give you, now 50 minutes. Okay, So let's switch gears for a second. Talk about the ACT. So guys, these are the four sections of the ACT. Again, I see a lot of you guys doing it already, so it might be easier to just take a picture with your phone. But look at that first section, guys, ACT English. They only give you 45 minutes to answer 75 questions, okay? That, I know that seems absurd. That comes out to like 35 seconds a question. Here's the good news. The questions are pretty straightforward. They're pretty easy, but you have to work really, really fast. And if you lose your concentration, it's going to affect your score. So the morning of the SAT or ACT, make sure you have a substantial breakfast. Make sure, of course, you get a good night's sleep. I'm smiling because I know this stuff sounds obvious, but I've had a lot of students who went to the ACT or SAT on an empty stomach. Make sure caffeine has been proven to improve concentration. Maybe have a glass of green tea. Okay, I'm not telling you guys to go out and drink a monster drink or whatever the latest thing is, but maybe a glass of green tea. Have something to make sure that you're ready to concentrate, because they're only going to give you 45 minutes to get through 75 questions. But also think back to something I said earlier. If you don't know to answer every question, you might be at question 65, and the proctor says there's only 1 minute left, make sure you bubble in an answer for the last 10. There are only four choices. Mathematically, you're gonna get two or three of those right. That's two or three more questions just for bubbling in an answer. Okay, so 45 minutes, 75 questions, you see the math. I also put the reading and science in red because students have a tough time finishing those sections in time. So let me give you guys a quick synopsis of how to think of the SAT versus the ACT. Neither test is the quote-unquote better test. Some students will do better on the SAT. Some will do better on the ACT. The ACT... And again, maybe just jot this down, guys. The ACT, the questions are slightly easier, but the timing is more difficult. Even though it's hard to finish the SAT in time, it's even harder to finish the ACT in time. So, of course, you've got to do a couple full-length practice ACTs to get used to the timing component. Also, guys, the curve on the ACT is more difficult. So the curve on the new SAT is more generous. So people think the ACT is the quote-unquote easier test, but the curve is tougher. You have to get a higher percentage of questions right. So in the end, they come about the same. You guys may want to jot this fact down. 70% of students score about the same on the SAT and the ACT. 70% of students score about the same. So for those students, unfortunately, it was a little bit of a waste to take both. But for 30% of students, they score higher on one over the other. And it's very hard to predict. In fact, I've had students who scored much better on all their practice ACTs, and then for whatever reason, they scored much better on the real SAT. Okay, so I don't like to tell students just focus on one, when they may end up scoring better on the other one. Again, my little guys are just finishing first grade, but when they're older, they're gonna take each test once because you never know. And it's not a big deal to take one additional test. Okay, oh, guys, look at that fourth bullet point. The science, it isn't really a science section. It's not like they're gonna say, are protons positive or negative or neutral? It's not testing you on science facts. The ACT science section is more or less a reading comprehension section. So maybe jot that down. ACT science is essentially reading comprehension. They give you all the information you need. They give you charts and graphs and tables, and you have to pull the information that they're giving you out of those charts and graphs and tables. So reality is three of the four ACT sections come down to your verbal ability. So if you're stronger on the verbal side than you are on the math, the ACT might be the more comfortable test for you, because you've got English that's all verbal, reading that's all verbal and science that's all verbal. 75% of the ACT is essentially testing you on your verbal ability. Whereas on the SAT, of course, it's 50% verbal and 50% math. So kind of an obvious difference there. Interesting thing, well, yeah, let me just say, guys, the max score on the ACT is a 36. I bet a lot of you guys knew that already, but the highest score you can get is a 36. Just to give you guys the national average, it's about a 21. Okay, I know on Long Island, people are surprised when I share that with them. They think that that sounds really low, but that's the national average of 21. So any score above a 21 on the ACT is above average. If you score a 30 on the ACT, that's an excellent score. A 30 will get you into a lot of schools, okay? A lot of scholarship, financial aid, additional financial aid money. And by the way, you get a score out of 36 on each part, and then they just average those four together. That's how you get your score. The essay is a separate score. On both exams, guys, the ACT and the SAT, the essay is a separate score. It does not affect your main score, okay? Notice that on the essay, there's 40 minutes. Guys, notice it says graded out of 36. Just today, the ACT changed their policy. So the essay is not going to be out of a 36 anymore. It literally just happened today. And it's a long story. I'm definitely not going to bore you guys with the nonsense. The ACT essay used to be out of 12. They went to it out of 36. It was kind of a disaster. So now they're going back to out of 12. So the max score you can get on the ACT essay moving forward. I didn't read the fine print yet because I just saw it before I came on stage. But I don't know when they're going to go back to this new score, but I think it's moving forward. So it's not even that big of a deal, but I just want you guys to be fully aware. Okay, ACT math. Okay, you guys can see there's been a slight increase in how many basic statistics questions, probability questions. So that's how the ACT has evolved a little bit recently. The best way to be ready for these new changes, these slight changes, I should say, is either, the ACT book or our web-based program. Okay, greater emphasis on STEM questions. But it's still, the key is that third bullet point. It's still a majority, Algebra 1, Algebra 2, Geometry. Okay, and the questions are more straightforward. You'll notice that as soon as you start practicing than SAT math questions. Okay, the ACT reading, I'm not going to be redundant. It's all about the main idea. It's all about process of elimination on the ACT. It's all about working quickly, okay? They do have now a paired passage on the ACT reading. So they give you two passages. Some questions will ask you to compare the two passages. Okay, same things, main idea, vocab and context, inference, details. Okay, the science, there were seven passages, they moved back to six passages, now they're back to seven. Okay, so that's how many different sections of questions you get. So they've made some small changes. But again, it's all about reading what's in the passage, the chart, the table. Okay, ACT essay. So you see what they do now? They give you three different perspectives, two different opinions, so to speak. Okay, and then you pick a side, and then you address how each of the positions aligns with or conflicts with your position. And again, you can change that one to 36. Now it's 2 to 12. Okay. So I want to go back. You know, you get into the weeds a little bit, and then I like to get out of the weeds and just, again, talk about it in general. If I was a rising junior, and I would say this for folks who are rising sophomores, if I was a rising junior, I would take the December ACT, and I would order the TIR service. I would then take the January SAT and I would order the question answer service. Once I got the scores back, which, you know, scores come back like 2.5 weeks after the test. Scores come back pretty quickly, guys. You have to wait a little longer for the service to come back, but the scores come back really pretty quickly. You just Google SAT versus ACT scores. You see which test that you scored better on, and then that would be the test I would focus on moving forward. So I would do December ACT, January SAT. I would compare my two scores. If I scored higher on the ACT, or if I felt more comfortable with the ACT and I scored about the same, I would then take the April ACT as my second ACT. If I scored higher on the SAT, I would take the May SAT. That would be my second SAT. Guys, I wouldn't take both tests twice. I would, after I've taken each test once, I would focus on the one I did better on or felt more comfortable. So then May would be my second SAT. And then I might take that exam a third time. There are a lot of students who go up on their second exam and then go up on their third exam. There's no need to take one of these exams more than three times, unless obviously, and I have worked with a lot of students, a college will say to you, you are accepted here. We're going to offer you a spot. If you score a little bit better on the SAT or ACT, we are going to offer you a better scholarship package, okay? Obviously, if a college said that to me, I would just keep taking that exam. I would just keep taking it until I got that score that I needed for that better scholarship package. But three times in general is all that I would want you to take the exam, right? This is not about taking these tests 10 times, okay? You guys have better things to do. This is about being strategic. Get in, get out, get the score you need, prepare efficiently. Yeah, you look at that first bullet point, guys. Maybe, whatever, jot it down, or taking timed sections. Again, I know this sounds obvious. Lots of students don't do it. When you're going to practice for the exam, you have to time yourself. Just take your phone out, use the alarm feature. This way, when you're going to be forced to stop on the exam, your phone's going to beep, and you're going to know where you had been forced to stop. I always tell students, make a mark of where you were, finish the section to see how many more you would have gotten correct if you had more time, but make a mark where you were so you're realistic with yourself. That's where you would have had to stop. That's where they would have cut you off. So you have to time yourself. You have to take full-length exams. A lot of you guys kind of understand this already, but these are endurance tests, as I said before. Half the battle for a lot of students is just sitting there for a long time. So you have to be mentally prepared. Speaking of that, guys, they let you bring snacks to the test center. Bring